You go to the first verse. I mean the prayer verse.
Om Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam Varushishtante Vasavrishiganayaravratam Brahma Nishtai Acharyendram Karakalita Chinmudramanandamurtim Swatmaramam mudita vadanam dakshina murti mide.
Let's do verse 6.
Rahu grasta divankarendu sadrishaha. Om Rahu grasta divankarendu sadrishaha. Maya samachadhanat, Maya samachadhanat, Sanmatra karanopasamharanato, Sanmatra karanosamharanato, Yo bhutsushupta puman, Yo bhutsushupta puman, Prak aswapsamiti prabodhasamaye, Prak aswapsam iti prabodha samaye yav pratyabhignayate yav pratyabhignayate tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye
Rahu grasta divakara indu. Rahu grasta divakara indu sadrishaha. Maya samachadanat. San matraha. So that'd be sad matraha, sat matraha. Karanaha. No, karana, sorry. Karana. Upasamharanataha, so karana, upasamharanataha, yaha abhut, sushuptaha, puman, prak aswapsam iti prabodha samaye, yap pratyabhignayate. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Repeat after me again. Rahu grasta divankarendu sadrisho maya samachadanat. Rahu grasta divankarendu sadrisho maya samachadanat. Sanmatra karanopasam haranato yo bhutsushuptav puman. Sanmatra karanopasam haranato yo bhutsushuptav puman. Prak aswapsamiti prabodhasamaye yav pratyabhignayate. Prak aswapsam iti prabodha samaye yav pratyabhignayate. Together. Tasmai shri guru murtaye nam idam shri dakshina murtaye.
Okay. Rahu grasta. Rahu, you know, there's Ketu and Rahu. These are the two nodes in Vedic astrology. You know, the north node and the south node or whatever it is. Rahu grasta. It means that which is eaten by Rahu. It means the eclipse. Eaten by Rahu. Okay. Rahu grasta. Divakara. Diva means day. Divakaraha, the day maker. The one who makes the day is the name for the sun. Divakaraha. Then Indu, the moon. So Rahu grasta divakara Indu. Sadrishaha means like. Sometimes we use Eva Sometimes we use vat at the end of a, as an indeclinable affix at the end of a word, like, in sadrishaha means like. So, like the sun or the moon, like the eclipsed, like an eclipse of the sun or of the moon, or like an eclipse of the sun and the moon, you can also say, like an eclipse of the sun and the moon. Maya samachadanat. Because of the samachadana, because of the covering of maya, fifth case, maya samachadanat, because of the covering of maya, sun matraha, that which is pure consciousness, matraha means consciousness, is consciousness alone. That which is made of consciousness alone, sun matraha, that which is the nature of the atma is sat, conscious being, sun matraha. Karana upasam haranataha, from the withdrawing, upasamhara, from the withdrawing of the sense organs, karana upasamharanataha, yaha, the one who, abhut sushuptaha puman, the person, the puman, the you can even say the purusha, or the person, that person, abhut sushuptaha, that person has slept. That person was asleep, okay? Because pure being, which is the nature of the puman, also means purusha, the nature of the purusha, that being yourself as though goes to sleep, right? Because of the withdrawal of the karanas, because of the withdrawal of the sense organs. Then, prak aswapsam iti prabodha samaya. At the time of waking up, prabodha is waking up. Prabodha samaye, the time of waking up, prak aswapsam iti. He says, prak aswapsam. He said, I slept well. Prak means just before, you know, right? I just woke up is the idea. Prak, before, aswapsam. Now that I'm awake, I really slept well. You have to wake up first. At the time of waking up, you know, he says, I just had the great sleep of aswapsam. Aswapsam means I slept well. I just had a great sleep, prak aswapsam iti. Yaha pratyabhijñāyate. The one who has this pratyabhijñā, the one who has this memory, it's a certain type of memory which we're going to be talking about. The one who has this memory at the time of waking up, prak aswapsam, I slept very well. Prak aswapsam, I slept well. Salutations to Dakshinamurti, who's in the form of my guru now. So this whole verse is really about the deep sleep state. The deep sleep state tends to be problematic for a lot of people, because when the problem, really the problem with deep sleep, like in the waking state, you still feel, I'm awake in the waking state, I'm a knower, I'm here. Yeah. In the dream state, you still also feel, I'm awake, I'm a conscious being, I'm here aware of the dream. You know, something is happening, or I'm identified with a character in the dream. So the sense of me as a knower, as a conscious being, is very present in the waking state, in the dream state, even though you're identified with another character often in the dream state. But it's not as drastic as the deep sleep state, where the ahankara itself is in unmanifest condition. There's no ahankara, there's no seer seen subject-object duality, there's no nama-rupa, there's no name and form at all. And of course, because there's no ahankara, there's the mind is in a causal condition, there's no one saying, I'm sleeping. Even though, you know what, in the dream there's no one saying I'm dreaming unless you're having a lucid dream. But often in the dream is just taking place and you're identified with a character in it and you don't think I'm dreaming or I'm not dreaming. You are experiencing the dream, and more often than not, you're experiencing the dream from the standpoint of a dream character within the dream. Just like in the waking state, you're experiencing the waking state from the standpoint of the ahankar, whoever you're identified with in the waking state. So you'd be experiencing the waking state from this standpoint of the body, mind, sense organs. I am here in this world. And so I am the self, this body, mind, sense organs, who through my sense organs and my mind is experiencing the world. That's the natural product of ajnanam that creates this type of ahankara, this I notion that's identifying my being with things that I'm actually objectifying and watching change. So when I go to the dream state, again, I am experiencing the dream. These two states are very, very similar, actually, from the standpoint of the state itself. In the dream state, I am identified with the character in the dream state, and my consciousness is there using the sense organs, as though from the standpoint of the character. It's utilizing the sense organs to know it has a mind to think. You know, it has legs and arms to walk. And so really, it's very familiar territory to me. Because in either case, I am identified with the body, mind, sense organs and experiencing the world from within that. And in either case, that is my reality. The dreamer isn't saying, you know, I'm in this dream. It's really something that was created by me. And now here we are, and I've taken this body, and I'm walking through this. We don't have any of that. This dream has for its adhishtana, of course, the self, but on top of the adhishtana of the self, there is this pervasion of ajnanam. Because the mind sense organs, the one who makes decisions, the one who gains knowledge, has no access to the reality of the dream and the reality of the self, the my me that is pervasive of that whole dream. There's no access in either the waking state or in the dream state. So we're very similar there. But in the dream, in the deep sleep state, that is not familiar territory, right? Because there's no knower known relationship there. If I could be a knower in that causal condition, and while I was in the causal condition, the knowership remained, where I say, oh, I'm in the deep sleep, you know, this is my deep sleep experience, and I'm aware of its subject-object relationship. Just some sort of sense of me as a knower. It's this knowership that concerns people, you know. And the deep sleep state, if we're using this prakriya, this teaching methodology, the knower has to be given up. So let me tell you that, again, we mentioned this briefly. Oops. This particular prakriya that is really can be used in the waking state also, but it's something that we always use for the dream state. Right? It's called anvaya vyatireka. Some of you know this, anvaya vyatireka. Anvaya vyatireka. It has to do with... Well, let me give you the. There's a word I'm thinking of that I can't think of right now. Anyway, I'll just describe it. In the positive anvaya, it shows an invariable relationship, as though a relationship that could be an invariable relationship, a necessary relationship, an intrinsic relationship between two things. And so, pronoun form. This relationship that we experience would go like this. When this is, that is. Okay. So now, I don't know if that's an intrinsic relationship, but I know that whenever this is, that is. But for that to be an intrinsic relationship, an inseparable relationship, you also need the negative assertion that when this is not, that is not. When this is, that is. When this is not, that is not. Then there's a dependency there between the two things. It's a relationship, but it's a dependent relationship. And so when we apply this anvaya vyatireka to see if the two things are totally intertwined or dependent upon each other, what if the relationship goes like this, the anvaya vyatireka goes like this? When this is, that is. When this is not, that still is. Mm-hmm. Right? When this is, that is. When this is not, that still is. Okay. Now, what type of a relationship do we have there? None, really. None. You know, because the one goes away and I still am. So there can be some sort of a subject-object relationship, but there's no dependency. So I have a subject, just to say, say I have a subject-object relationship, I'm aware of that. Right? I'm aware of that. So I could say, when I'm in the room, you're in the room. Right? When I'm in the room, you're in the room. When you leave the room, you drag me along with you. Yeah. When right? When I'm in the room, you're in the room. I could say like this. When you're in the room, let's go do it like this, this way. When you're in the room, I'm in the room. So do we have to be in the room together? Because when you're in the room, I'm in the room. Right? But when you're not in the room, I'm still in the room. Wow. We don't even think about that, you know? We don't have to think about it because I know that it's not an invariable relationship, that it's not a dependent relationship. So I can actually be in the room when you leave. Another one, like say if we say, when the sun is there, it is day. When the sun is there, day is. When the sun is not there, day is not. So day has no independent relationship. The day has an dependent relationship. It has a dependent relationship on the sun. You can't have the day without the sun. So as the sun moves around the globe, the day moves with it. You know, the sun moving around the globe or the globe moving around the sun, the day moves with it. Wherever the sun is, the day is. But when the sun is not there, the day is not. See what I mean? And so you just imagine the earth moving around the sun, you know, and it's rotating also. And so as it moves around the sun and it is also rotating, then it's the day is rotating. The day is illuminating different parts of the earth. Whenever the sun is showing, the day is. You see the situation? It's so easy to see it when it's external. But now look at this. If I say, when the waking state is, I am. Right? When the waking state is, I am. When the dream state is, which actually negates the waking state, negates it, replaces it. I don't have the waking state and the dream state at the same time. So when the waking state is, I am. When the waking state is not, but is replaced by the dream state, I still am. Right? I am the waker, and I am the dreamer. But the dream experience totally replaces the waking experience. And yet I am the self of both. I, without any problem, I say, yes, I am the waker, and I am the dreamer, and I am the deep sleeper. But the fact is that everything that you identify with in the waking state is replaced. Everything about this world that you experience, the subject-object experience even, the body-mind-sense organs experience, the particular scene that you find yourself in, the waking scene is replaced by the dream scene. The waking subject-object relationships are replaced by the dream subject-object relationships. The body that you identify in the waking state is replaced by the body that you identify with in the dream state. And yet I say, I am the waker and I am the dreamer. The one who is the waker is the one who is the dreamer. And yet everything about you that you identify with is replaced. The dream character is totally different than the waking character. Right? The dream the waking situation is totally different than the dream situation. You know, you can go to bed really hungry, you know, and wake up and then in the dream eat a full meal. You're satisfied, your hunger is completely satisfied. That'd be interesting. I mean, these things happen actually. You feel so hungry and then you go to a dream and then you have a big banquet and you're just totally satiated. Everything is fine and wonderful. And then you wake up again from the dream and you're really hungry. So the dream world, as real as it is within itself, is different and totally replaces the waking state, but it's not a problem for me because I'm the self of both of them. Now, this, when you really kind of think about this, I am the self of both of them, even though there's a different body, mind, sense organs, and a different world being experienced. But you know, this exact thing, we're just looking at waking and dream state now, this exact thing happens continually in the waking state also. Every vritti that changes, the vrittis, the thoughts, the experiences, the entire experience given to me by a vritti, a thought modification, goes, and it goes. So this thought comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes, and I'm every one of them. I take myself to be every one of them as the knower. This is my experience. This experience belongs to me. I am that. If the experience happens to be an upadhi, a conditioning adjunct, which is reflecting consciousness, then the ahankara comes in and identifies the body, mind, sense organs with me. I am this, I am this, I am this thought, I am this feeling, I am this emotion, I am this body, I am this age of the body. So there's a total superposition between myself and this body, mind, sense organs. And why do I say there's a superimposition? Because everything that you were identified with has gone. And a whole new set of experiences have come in. This is just in the waking state. It's just in the waking state. And so this body that you identify with also over a slow period of time from birth, it's not really slow, but compared to the mind it is. And so this body goes from infancy to childhood to teenage years to adult years to old age to death, from birth to death. So there's a whole transformation that is taking place, and every cell in the body is changed every 7 years. So there's a tremendous transformation taking place just in terms of your whole life. But, you know, you were the little baby. And you have some memories. Some of you have a lot of memories around your childhood. Some of us have a few. So you were a little baby. You were a little girl or a little boy, you know. You went through puberty and went to high school. And then you either worked or did something after high school was over. And these were all your experiences, my experiences. These are my experiences. I was there. I was there. All of those experiences have come and gone, and the body that was there, it's not there anymore. It's just not there. You have another nice, fresh, new body. And the body, and up until a certain point. I'm sorry. In the teenage years, you have crested. And from then, it's just a slow. You do can exercise and do lots of things to keep it going. But what I'm saying is that there's what we call, whether we're looking from the waking state to the dream state to the deep sleep state, we continue to have a memory, but it's a different type of memory. This is a technical term that they're using in this verse here. We have a pratyabhijna. A pratyabhijna is different than a memory that you have. When you have a memory, I mean, it is a type of memory, but we have to make this distinction. All of your memories are usually around things which you objectify, the things that you did, the emotions that you felt, the situations that you were finding yourself in. Even if you think about, you have memories when you were a child, I did this and I did that, and I have this vivid memory of all of these things. Those are memories. A pratyabhijna is when the memory centers on yourself in the past. Like, for instance, one pratyabhijna would be, you know, something like, I remember myself when I was 15. I remember what I was doing then. The memory is what you were doing. The pratyabhijna is the recognition of your own self being present at that time. So the pratyabhijna is the memory that is directed to the anuvritti, the ongoing presence of you, right? You know, I remember when I was just a little girl and only weighed, you know, 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was 5. You're not remembering a different I at 5. You're not remembering, there was a little 5-year-old girl or boy that used to exist some decades ago. There was a little girl. There was a teenager, you know, who was living at that time with my parents when she was 15. Now, if I talk about like that, we're not talking about ourselves. There was a 15-year-old girl, you know, I remember clearly, a 15-year-old girl who was living with her brothers and sisters, you know, when she was 15. What do you think? That's not you. That's not a pratyabhijna. That's a memory of some 15-year-old girl. But what if you say, when I was 15, I lived with my parents in Sonoma with my brothers and sisters? That's a pratyabhijna. Because when you say, when I was that, no, you know, I was that. I was the one who was 15. I was the one who was 30, etc. That's pratyabhijna. The memory is centered on the anuvritti. Anuvritti means the continuation of me. It's not somebody else. I was there, I was there, I was there. I experienced this, I experienced that, I experienced that. All of those memories then, I am recognizing that they are memories of myself at that particular time and what was happening. Even now, pratyabhijna is this, if I describe an emotion, say I describe there is an emotion that when you don't get your way, when you don't, this is a Vedanta, there's an emotion when you don't get your way, you're not able to fulfill a desire. The most natural, when it's thwarted, a thwarted desire, the most natural emotion to occur in the Bhagavad Gita is krodha. Krodha means anger. Anger will occur. Anger will arise in the psyche when you don't get your way in terms of a binding desire. I need this to be happy. And it's thwarted. Krodha, anger, irritation, these things will naturally arise. So now I'm teaching you about that. Okay? And so you're thinking about it, all of it. But what if I'm saying, I wanted that so badly. Okay, so now I wanted that last week. Last week, I wanted this thing to work out so badly. And it just was totally bungled. And it was just totally bungled. Now I'm talking about what actually happened. That's a memory. I was so angry. That's pratyabhijna. Because I am remembering, I can describe the situation of last week clearly. But I'm describing how I was. I was there. See what I mean? I was there. So there's a pratyabhijna, there's a recognition of my own being the one who was there last week, who had a very binding desire, which was thwarted, which made me angry. So the recognition of yourself in all the present and past experiences is what we call pratyabhijna. And so now, with everybody kind of understand that? So now this idea, the anvayavyatireka, when this is, that is, when this is not, that is not, and pratyabhijna are very powerful tools for differentiating and being able to understand who I am, you know? And to differentiate myself from the experiences that I'm having, right? Just one more thing about that. If there is a pratyabhijna, when I was five, right, I was with my brothers and sisters outside playing, I remember. Right? That's a pratyabhijna, when I was five. Okay? Now we have the five-year-old little girl and we have the adult here. The five-year-old and the adult are not the same. You can't really have a pratyabhijna there. There's a little five-year-old girl, and now there's an adult. Okay? That's a memory. The pratyabhijna is that the recognition that the one who is the self of the little five-year-old, the one who is the self of the little five-year-old is the one who is the self, the me, the one who is the me, the self of the little five-year-old, is the me of this adult. That's the pratyabhijna. What is so interesting about that is that in order for the little girl, the little I, the little me, it's not a little me, it's just me. I'm not little or big. The self in the five-year-old is the self, is the me in the adult. But now we have what's a type of Mahavakya. Oh, you adult, you, the one who is here now, is the very one that was there then. That's in your experience. You don't think, no, it's somebody different. That was me, and I've gone through so many experiences since then. You know, my experiences, I was there all along. The experiences go on negating each other, and yet I remain exactly the same. So this pratyabhijna, in order for you to really be able to say, the one who is here now is the one there some decades ago. You have to drop off the identity with the upadis. You don't do that because you don't even think about this. But when we bring it up, really, the one who remains as the constant me cannot be identified with the upadis, with the conditioning adjuncts. You see that? Do you?
Say that again.
Okay. The one who was the self of the little girl, who is the self even of the 15-year-old, and who is the self of this person now, has not changed. Right. Me is me, right? But the upadhi has changed drastically. And so I can't be the upadhi because it is so drastically changed from a little 5-year-old to an adult. Plus all of the cells of the body have changed. This is just one prakriya. We can go now into the subject-object relationship showing why it has never changed, because the objects, even in from vritti to vritti to vritti, continually change. You know? And I remain the same. The one who is happy now was sad yesterday. The one who has this experience now had that experience yesterday. See what I mean? So these are just tools to help me differentiate myself. Now, where it becomes really wonderfully useful is going, and how we use it really is going from the waking state to the dream state, because in those two situations it's not just me, the little girl who is now an adult, it's the whole universe. The whole universe now. When this waking state universe was there with me identified as this person was there, right? I was there. When the waking state was there, I was there. Of course. But when the dream state was there and the waking state was no longer there, I'm still here. So the self of the waking state is the self of the dream state, but the dream state totally negates the waking state. There is no experience of the waking state when I'm in the dream state. Nor is the body and the situation I find myself in the same. It's not the same at all. And what's so amazing is that I don't even notice that. I don't get to go into the dream state and take another body and think, oh, this is a different body that I used to have in the waking state. You probably don't think that, you know. Mm-hmm. Unless you're lucid dreaming. Where you're awake in the dream is a possibility. But otherwise, you don't even think about that. And nor there is there any disruption. I don't think I've taken another body now, you know, or that the it's a different me, you know. I'm the constant. I'm the invariable. So now if I say to you, you know, the self of the waker is the self of the dreamer. You know, that's not true. You wouldn't say that. That's not true. You might say, well, yes, that's true. But there was a different world in the waking state and the dream state. There's a different world completely. And I had a different body. But yeah, it is true that it's my dream and it's my waking state. And so now you have to figure out who this me is that's the self of the waker and the self of the dreamer. And to figure that out, you have to negate the dream world and the waking world, and the dream character and the waking character. You have to get rid of both of them completely, because they negate each other. They replace each other. And I'm there. I'm still there. So when you start thinking about that, the me now, you can see clearly, and then we'll go to the dream state. This me, the self that I am, there's a pratyabhijna there. The one who is there for the dream is the one who is there in the waking state. I recognize the constancy of my being. In the deep sleep, when the whole mind is in unmanifest condition, you know, I recognize that's like saying, okay, let's get rid of this universe, let's get rid of this universe, let's get the word the waker, and get rid of the dreamer, and just go into total causal condition. Now that, I think Bhagavan planned all of this out in this kind of infinite intelligence. Because now in that state, what that tells you is that without the mind present, there is it's mind and sense organs, right? And the body goes into paralysis, but that's not we don't have to worry about that. When the mind and sense organs are withdrawn, there is no subject-object relationship, you know. There is no objectivity. There's just your being, because there's no death experience. This is important. Your being is not in unmanifest condition, but what everything that it would illumine is. This is really critical. In the deep sleep state, everything that you would illumine, light up, you know, is an awake mind, awake sense organs, awake ahankara, awake ahankara. All of that is there in the waking and the dream. When you go into the deep sleep, none of these things that are there that make me me, including my tremendous attachment to being the conscious being who is a knower. We only think of me as a conscious being really as the one who's really the subject and active in this experience and the one who knows. That isn't there. When the waker, the dreamer, the mind goes into causal condition, those experiences aren't there. And so the me stays exactly the same, but the me, myself, is illumining a mind in causal condition, which is just like pure ajnanam. There is no subject-object diversity at all. There's just big swaps and I slept. They even say, go on, you know, I slept so well. I didn't know anything. I wasn't even I wasn't even present. It's as if I wasn't even there. It was wonderful. I got rid of myself for a while. it's nice, give me a break, you know. So I got rid of the upadis, you know. But I was there. And then when the mind becomes awake again, how do you even know about deep sleep? Because that causal condition of the mind is illumined, the causal condition of the sattva, any activity there is completely goes into causal condition, and now the mind, the self, illumines that. And when you wake up, what did you say? Oh, this is what the hell they joke in the Sanskrit. I slept so well, I didn't know anything. That's their line. I slept so well, I didn't know anything. What they're saying is that from the waking state, you have a memory of this, of course, because your mind, you are there, the conscious being, illumining that particular vritti. You have a memory of it. And so even there, the pratyabhijna was there. I slept so well. I had this dream. I am doing this in the waking state. There's an anuvritti, that pratyabhijna, which is a pratyabhijna of me, not of what is dismissed. I can't have a pratyabhijna of something that doesn't, that is not there, that is not me, that does not have that anuvritti, that consistency. And so now to recognize yourself, you have to negate, this is the viveka, you have to recognize that anything that is objectified, including the whole universe and the knower-known relationship, anything objectified that changes, that exists within time and space, is maya. And that maya is that samachadanat. And he says, just like in this verse, I'll just go over this verse and then we'll stop here a little bit. Rahu grasta diva karendu sadrishaha. Just like the sun and moon that are eclipsed, maya samachadanat, because of the covering of maya, this sun matraha, this being, the satchiratma, being itself, it says the atma now has gone into deep sleep. The one who goes into deep sleep, because actually all the ones that have gone into, the one who is there, the deep sleep, having withdrawn all of the sense organs, that one just abides as pure being. Okay? Not a knower. Just abiding as sun matraha. Not as a knower, as just abiding as being itself, because all of the instruments of knowing are in unmanifest condition. Then waking up, that person says, you know, I slept so well. That person has a pratyabhijna yate. At the time of waking, he has a pratyabhijna. I slept so well. Mm. So salutations to my guru, Dakshinamurti. So this whole understanding of the anvayavyatireka and the pratyabhijna is really very powerful for being able to recognize the continuation of your own being. And to perform that viveka, that discrimination, it helps you to totally objectify maya and relieve yourself from it. Relieve yourself from an identification with anything in maya. Because when you go from the waking state to the dream state, you, the atma, is still there, but nothing else is. No world. The world, the waking state world, is totally negated by the dream state. But you are still there. So who is that? Who is the one, you know, in terms of the totality of your experience, is never gone? And this makes it very, very, very vivid. We start out in these teaching methodologies, prakriyas, like with drisha viveka, so that you can recognize that the object, that you actually have a subject-object relationship with the world, with the body, with the mind, with the sense organs. With everything that can be objectified, there's a subject-object relationship. When you go to the waking dream state, you realize that those things that we've just objectified belong to the waking state. And they, when the waking state is withdrawn, everything that you had objectified or realized that you had a subject-object relationship just through the seer-seeing teaching methodology, now you realize, well, yes, When I go from the waking state to the dream, everything that I just realized was objectified and belonged to the waking state actually does. Because when the waking state goes into unmanifest condition, is replaced by the dream state, everything that I just found out really was objectified, I realize it must be. It must belong to the waking state because the waking state now has been replaced by the dream state, right? And I still am. I still am because I'm not anything that exists in the waking state. Those are all objectified, every part of it, from the innermost subject in terms of the upadis, the innermost subject that the ahankara identifies with as a subject, all the way up to the rest of the universe, is replaced in the dream state. But I'm not the dream state either, because the waking state replaces the dream state, and the deep sleep state resolves any notion you might have that your being, you know, is dependent in any way on this manifest creation. Nor is it dependent on on the cause, that causal condition either, because when you wake up, you are the subject objectifying who has objectified that causal condition, which we call ajnanam. And so it just helps your mind to recognize a truth that experientially and logically you can't get out of. There's nowhere to hide. Swamiji, there's nowhere to hide. He would play like he has this big, huge flashlight of the teaching, and the ahankar is looking off, always looking for a corner, but then the teacher goes, there. And so until there's no more corners, there's no more rocks to hide under, you know, because this torch, this powerful torch comes and illumines it, and then, oh, it's coming, you go to the next little rock that you can hide under. Oh, no. I was talking about that experience I had where my little ahankara got caught.
Mm. What was that?
When my ahankara really got shaken so badly at one, the beginning with one of Swamiji's talks in Rishikesh. It was so traumatic. It didn't last very long, but it was like a death experience. They're trying to kill me. I didn't use those words, but because you the identity, the superimposition is so complete that this me is this body, mind, sense organs, and I am a knower. And then you recognize that actually you're not. That your being is absolutely, completely free of that. But the ahankara wasn't... I hadn't received enough teaching yet for that not to be very frightening to me. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm still very identified.
Do you remember what it was?
What was?
The unfoldment that panicked you.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. But it was very beautiful, whatever it was.
The ahankara gets recognized.
Yeah.
As an object.
Yeah. It realizes that what the self that it thought it was, they're trying to tell me it's not. Actually, the ahankara is so... When this knowledge, as this knowledge takes place, you feel so relieved because there's no reason to have any fear. It's just the self that the very self that the buddhi is, that the mind is, that the body is actually free from time. Mm. So there's not a new self. There's not some big self lurking out there trying to kill the little self. Mm. It's that the little self is the big self. There's no little self or little self. It's just me. Mm. And that me is free of time. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.